For our second lesson this morning, I read from the 24th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 13th verse. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things that are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. Now the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that it would have been he who would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done, and certain women of our company made us astonished when they were early at the sepulcher, and they found not the body. And they came saying that they had also seen the vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then Jesus said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe. Well, I thought that might be a good text for April Fool's Day. Fools and slow of heart to believe. Of course, this is April Fool's Day, and nobody but a bit of a fool would try and follow Olin Binkley and Brooks Hayes up here in this pulpit. Say nothing of the treat that's ours tomorrow when Alice Good comes to sing the story of Holy Week for us in beautiful music with her superb voice. But I was fool enough to try because I decided to take two other texts. One of them from the lesson I've just read. The other from the lesson we read together a few minutes ago. Because there's been a sermon burning in my heart and turning over in my mind ever since at chapel a few weeks ago, Dr. Durham quoted from an editorial in the Saturday Review on the case for hope. And I pulled out a bit of paper and wrote down, I'm going to preach on the case for hope. For that's one of the key needs of our day and time. There's so much of hopelessness and despair. Despair that leads to frustration and destruction. And so many of those who seem bent on destroying what we now have aren't at all sure what they want to put in its place, but in hopelessness and despair, they strike out against what is. And as we face the pollution and the poverty of our time, the violence and the war and the hatred and the bitterness in our own community and to the ends of the earth, what is the case for hope? Some of you may remember a few years ago, a submarine was sunk in the Atlantic. And the Navy started quickly to try and find that sub that was on the bottom and couldn't surface. Finally, divers did find it. They tapped on the outside, hoping they'd get some response from within. And they listened and they heard in the Morse code these words, Is there any hope? And And that, my brethren, is the question you and I face from our congregation Sunday after Sunday. Is there any hope? Now, hope is vital to life. Paul said rightly in the scripture lesson we read a few minutes ago, we are saved by hope. Without hope, men give way to despair and accept defeat even before it comes and die. But with hope, there's a sense of destiny, a sense of direction, a determination to see it through. You remember some years ago, Eddie Rickenbacker and some men flying with him were downed in the Pacific. They just barely had time to get out of their plane and into a life raft. The plane sank. There they were in the wide expanse of the Pacific. And they floated for days, barely existing with rainwater that they caught and kept, and a few fish that they could catch. One man gave way to his despair and plunged overboard and was gone. But the others were sustained by two things, well, three really. One day, Rickenbacker tells how they watched a gull circle their raft and hoped it would land, and sure enough, as they waited quietly, not moving a bit, that luckless bird came down on Rickenbacker's shoulder. And slowly, as the rest of them waited almost breathlessly, his hand went up and up and up, slowly, almost imperceptibly, until he could grab that luckless bird. And they all watched with hungry eyes as he divided it into eight equal parts. And they had food for the day. But they had other food. One of the boys had in his pocket his New Testament. And every day they'd read from the Word and pray. And finally they did make it safely to shore. When Eddie Rickenbacker was asked, what was the secret of your endurance through those hard, agonizing days, he said, I never doubted we would be saved. I never gave up hope. And it was his hope that sustained them all. Hope is vital to life. And that's why this Holy Week means so much to us, these precious days from Palm Sunday to Easter, because our hopes are centered in Christ and in the triumph of those days. It's good to relive that week year after year, the triumph and exaltation of Palm Sunday, the agony of Gethsemane, and the sacrifice and the suffering of Calvary. Then the glorious, exultant victory on Easter morning. And the New Testament catches that in two contrasting texts. The two men in despair on the road to Emmaus, their dreams shattered, said, we had hope. But the writer of Hebrews says, which hope we have, an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. We make our choice, whether with those who say we had hoped, but it's hopeless, or those who exultantly cry, this hope we have. For our hope is centered in Christ. It's reflected in two hymns that we love. One of them, O little town of Bethlehem. Remember how Phillips Brooks says, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. But there's another hymn less familiar, an English hymn. It's based on the words of the New Testament. He goes before you into Galilee, the living Christ, and you see him there. And this verse says, he goes before us in life's strain and stress. No road we take can lack his blessedness. No common road our downcast eyes shall meet can want the footprints of his blessed feet. He goes before us up the crags of thought. We climb no higher than the truth he brought. Whatever peak we scale and leave behind, lo, on a higher peak, his form we find. He goes before us up the steeps of prayer. No sooner do we kneel than he is there, pleading before the great white throne of grace, with arms outstretched and mercy on his face. He goes before us when the day is done, in paths unknown, beyond the setting sun. Low in the west, the fleeting skirt of night is lit by him, the resurrection light. And that exultant note the writers of the New Testament caught. Paul says, we are saved by hope. We do not lose heart. I know whom I have believed. And the early Christians, in their suffering, wrote on the walls of the catacombs their hope of life in Christ. And Peter, going into the temple, sees that hopeless lame man there and says, I don't have any silver or gold, but I'll give you what I have, hope. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he walked. Hope centered in a living Lord. And this hope we have. It's ours to preach this coming week, thank God. A hope in a living Lord. A hope that is centered in him. You remember that beautiful story from Bonnie Briarbush? Called his mother's sermon? His mother's last words on her deathbed to her son were, laddie, you're going to be a preacher. Always say a good word for Jesus Christ. I'd hoped I'd be there to hear your first sermon. And I will be, though you'll not see me. Just remember, say a good word for Jesus Christ. And he went away to seminary and came back filled with knowledge and great ideas. And he said to the old aunt who asked him, what are you going to preach tomorrow? He said, well, you know, I've been a student under a certain great scholar, and I'm sure the people will expect a scholarly message from me tomorrow. And she said, laddie, just say a good word for Jesus Christ. And he paled, remembering what his mother had said. And went to his room and prepared another sermon. And on the way home from the church the next morning, the old aunt said, you did say a good word for Jesus Christ. And your mother was there, though you didn't see her. And she was happy. Such is our faith, centered in him. The faith we find voiced in Timothy, he abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Life here and life to come. The life abundant and the life eternal. And with our hope in him, we can be ready for anything. Anything. The crises that life brings, the daily frustrations, the struggle to do our part to help make true the prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." But we face it all with the assurance that the basic victory is already won. And our hope is centered in one who's proved his power. And in him we can be ready for anything. Brooks Hayes spoke yesterday about George Truett. And I remembered that crisis in his life. Just starting out in the ministry, hunting one day with a close friend. And his gun went off accidentally and his friend was killed. Truett went back to his study, "How can I ever preach again? I've killed a man." And one night, sitting in his study, reading from his Bible, he seemed to fall asleep and had a vision. And there before him was his Lord. The Lord simply said, "Be not afraid. From now on, you're my man." And he woke up, wondered if it were really true, dropped back to sleep, and the same thing happened again. The living Lord saying, "Be not afraid. From now on, you're my man." And the next Sunday, George Truett preached, as he did for many a year, one of the truly great witnesses of our time to a living Lord. Ready for anything, even death. Because our hopes are centered in him who conquered death and brought life and immortality to light. We can say, "Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory?" Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer need we hear, "O fools and slow of heart to believe." No longer need we say, "We had hoped, but it's hopeless." This hope we have. Thought of that the other day down in Dallas. We were at this Southwide Bible Conference, and the theme of the whole thing was the biblical basis of hope. And one morning in the panel, I reminded them of the tomb of Lenin. I told them I'd seen it on two visits. The first time, that tomb in the Red Square, beautiful red and black marble, was closed, and we were told it was closed for repairs. But some years later when I went, it was open. And I joined that long line that went into the tomb, and down into the dark hallway, then into a brilliantly lighted underground chamber. Where was the body of Lenin? Dressed in his peasant costume, the inspiration of so many, one who brought a revolution in his country and in his time. And as I left and went out into the darkened stair and up again out into the light, And look back on that day, I recall what was said at the funeral oration of Lenin. He was the savior of his people. He was their hope for a better world. And then I said to myself, that's all they can say about Lenin. He was. Jesus is. Lenin is buried in his tomb. My Lord's tomb was empty. Lenin was. But Jesus is the savior of his people, their hope for a better world. We can thank God and take courage. This is our hope. Shall we pray? We thank thee, O God, for this our hope, our blessed assurance. We thank thee that we can live and serve in the light of this triumphant and exultant word of hope, that we serve a living Lord. Speak to our minds and hearts in these days just ahead to those who listen. Grant that they too, hearing and believing, may share with us the joy of a living Christ and the gospel of hope. And now may the grace, the mercy and the peace of God our Father, Jesus Christ our Savior, the Holy Spirit our Comforter, be and abide with us all now and forever through Jesus Christ, our living Lord.